Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless in the preaching of his word today. Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come into your presence. And God, that we can come in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and know that you will anoint by your spirit. God, we ask you to anoint the word as it goes to those here today that are present, to those that are in the airways, those that will listen to this message as it's replayed time and time again in the different places we're in, that God would anoint the message to go. It will not come back void is the promise of God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. No one has to question that we have peerless times on every hand. We have situations and problems everywhere we look. The Middle East with wars and rumors of wars. And who knows exactly what's going to take place, except one thing breaks out and on another side something else will break out. Now, the word tells us in Luke, the 21st chapter, we find these words. And it goes on to say in the 24th verse of that 21st chapter of Luke, it says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the time of the Gentile, and the time of the Gentile to be fulfilled." They're going to be trodden down, the word says, by the Gentile, until the time of the Gentile be fulfilled. And we're seeing that on every hand. Verse 25 says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplex the sea, and the waves roaring." What have we seen in tsunami after tsunami? What have we seen in every part of the world taking place? Men's hearts failing them for the fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. "For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up thy head, for your redemption draweth nigh." The redemption of man through the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus became the price paid for sin, the perpetuation, and through that we can know assuredly that we have redemption through Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that he will return and he will gather his church. We're looking for that day. We're looking for the excitement of that day, the signs on every hand, and we know that it's closer today than it was when we first believed, according to the word of God. And we know he's coming. He's coming to get his church, and we thank God for it. If we look for a few minutes, and I want to, this thought has been on my mind. We spent most of the night with a friend that passed away before morning, and so the thought is evermore on my mind. When you see, you know, the Bible said if we had only had hope of all men, we'd be most miserable. But when you're in situations where you see people pass on to be with the Lord, and you know, some folks look at it as the end, but it's only the beginning. The Bible says to live is Christ, to die is gain, to be, absent in body is to be present with the Lord. So we know when a loved one or a friend or someone passes through to be with the Lord, we know that the resurrection and the promise of God according to his word, and we know that God cannot fail, he will not fail. In John, in the 5th chapter, in verse 29, it says these words. It goes on to say, well, let's just back up a verse or two, and it says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice." And it goes on to say, "And shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So there will be two resurrections. Now, the Word of God gives us some understanding on that. And the resurrection is that wherein that God gathers back the flesh to be reunited with the Spirit. And then the man or the woman that's alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. And we're going to cover those scriptures this morning. Most of us here present, we understand the resurrection. We know about the resurrection. But I find out more and more every day that if we don't watch, we take it for granted that everybody knows the Bible. And I want you to know as a whole, and I'm saying those that are Bible scholars here today, as a whole, people don't know the Bible. They don't know about this. They don't know about the resurrection. They've been taught and preached everything under God's green earth, and some have been told that your soul have soul sleep. You just sleep in the grave. Some is told that the grave is the end, and they have no hope of anything more. I done a funeral in Radford several years ago that the person that left, and I can't be the judge, but they died in sin. And the family tried to get them out of the casket. They tried to hold on to them. They tried to get in the casket with their loved one. You know why? Because it was the end for them, because they had no hope. And there is two resurrections. There's a resurrection of life, and there's a resurrection of condemnation. And we choose in this life which we want to be a part of. We choose individually. We make the decision which resurrection we're going to be a part of. It's not made for us. The old-time primitive Baptists, God love them, but they preached you couldn't know. They preached you hope so. You hoped you were saved. And you got some that still believe that way. They believe that they can't know that they're saved. And they can't know whether they're going to be a part of the resurrection or not. I believe we know, assured by the Spirit of God, if we're saved by the blood of Jesus, if we've been washed of our sins and we've been cleansed, we know assuredly we've got His Spirit moving within us and the quickening of His Spirit. And I thank God for the quickening of His Spirit. I thank God that He quickens me by His Spirit. Many, many times the Bible said we'd all fell back or went back if we hadn't been quickened by the Spirit of the Lord. So God keeps us on the straight and narrow way by quickening us through the Spirit. And that same quickening will get us out of the graves when the trumpet sounds so loud that it's going to wake the dead. Amen. But we have set before us a resurrection of life, and we have a resurrection of damnation. In other words, it's the end. Now, God don't send people to hell. People go there as intruders. They make their own decision to go there. God did not create you or me or not one of His children to go to hell. He did not. And now the whole Word basically explains. And we're given the opportunity to know Christ and to be saved, to be born again by His Spirit. And as we receive Christ, and as we are born again by His Spirit, then we have life. You couldn't cover the subject of the resurrection without you. And it's getting close to Easter, but this is not my Easter message either. But it is a good Easter message. The Word of God explains to us in the Gospel of St. John, in the 11th chapter. And you know the story of Lazarus and how that he was dead. And our friend Karen Peck sang the song and done such a great job at the song 4 days late. And we pick up in John the 11th chapter and in verse 17. And when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then here in verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus Christ, if Jesus our Lord, if thou hast been here. In other words, she said to him, you know, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thou brother shall rise again. Verse 24, Martha begins to say, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last days. Now, this is that resurrection I was speaking of, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. And Martha, she said, I know he's a Christian. I know he's gonna be with the Lord. I know in the final resurrection in the last days, he's gonna be resurrected. But I like what Jesus said. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, this is important to you and I. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God, which shall come in the world. And we know the story that how that Lazarus was called forth, amen. And he got up and he lived according to the word of God, toward the promises of God. Thank God for the resurrection and the life that we find in Christ Jesus. Then in Acts 24 and 15, we find these words written in Acts 24 and 15. And have hope towards God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The just will go to the resurrection of life. The unjust will go to the resurrection of damnation. There again, we choose. We make up our minds. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. This is the day that we need to choose the Lord and choose him as the resurrection of life in our life. The Bible says in Philippians, in one of the most used section of scriptures, I guess, that we use pertaining the resurrection. Let's go and look at this right here. This is in Philippians, first of all, in chapter 3 and in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not though that I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And of course, Paul went on to make that tremendous statement. He said, but I, brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. And this is that resurrection. This is knowing the power of his resurrection. This is that which that when we are laid to rest, if we so come to that point before Christ returns, this is that point that will raise us out of the grave and we will rise forth to be present with the Lord and be evermore with the Lord according to the promises of God. Now then, in Revelation 20 and 5, it also, that which it explains the different resurrections, the resurrection of life and the resurrection of death according to the word of God. Now in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5, But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the promise of the word of God. This is that which he says, blessed he that has part of the first resurrection. The first resurrection is a resurrection of life. The second resurrection is a resurrection of condemnation. And we today, we want to have that part in the first resurrection. And then we stood on a mini mountaintop. I stood on top of Keene Mountain down next to Grundy and quoted these verses on a sunny afternoon. A blessed saint that had went on to be with the Lord. And I said to the family and I said to the friends, and hundreds of times throughout my ministry in the last 45 years, God has put this verse of scripture into my spirit and said, tell the people. Tell the people. Many times as I preached, God said, tell the people. And I hear the same spirit this morning say, tell the people. In 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter and in verse 3. But I would not have you to be ignorant. See, God wants us to be of an understanding. That's the reason we need to talk in our houses of the things of God. We need to talk to our children about the things of God. We need to speak about the things of God. We need a lost and dying world. We need to bring to them the knowledge and the understanding. Hey, listen, folks, don't wait around and think this thing's just by hope. The Bible said the day is the day of salvation. Unless you repent, the Bible says you shall all likewise perish. Don't sit around, my friend. Don't sit around and think it'll work itself out. I hear people say, well, it don't matter what you believe, long as you believe something. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. You know, one group says that, if you get your draw your strength on the big oak tree in the front yard, you bow down and worship the oak tree, that's justifiably to be your God, so you're right, so you believe. I'm going to tell you something, an oak tree won't save you. I'm going to tell you something, a doctrine of creed won't save you. But I'm going to tell you the one that said he was the resurrection and the life. He was the one that was dead but now lives and lives forevermore. He's the one promised us to be a part of that first resurrection. And we have the privilege and the choice today to choose to make that a part. God saves when we call upon him. He saves, I believe, in the twilight hours of people's lives. But why wait till the twilight hours? Why wait till they put a death announcement over top of your head before you go to calling upon the Lord? Call upon the Lord while you have time to serve him. Call upon the Lord while you have time to reap and receive rewards for the work and labor. Don't put it off as the last thing. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'll just live and do all I want to, and then in the 11th hour, I will call upon the Lord. I've seen a lot of people saved in the 11th hour, but I don't believe it's a good policy to take an attitude, I'll just wait, because you can be snapped out here so quick. You can leave here so quick. Breath can leave out of your lungs so quick. Your heart. I've got another friend we're doing a benefit for today, and we're going to that right after the services today. And I visited with him and my wife Jackie. We visited with him in the hospital last week down in Winston. And as we visited with him, he told us how his heart had stopped that morning. And they told him it was good he was in the hospital, because if he hadn't have been in the hospital, they said he would have died. He was right there where they could shock. And they hoping to put a pacemaker in and one with a fibrillator on it, which when his heart stops, it'll shock it back. We have a brain wave, an impulse, electrical shock like that goes from our brain down to our heart and causes it, ignites it to beat. And if our brain fails to send that signal, we're out of here. They're one step between us and eternity. I don't care how strong we are. I don't care how young we are. We're seeing obituaries come in back there. Jackie will tell you she reads as many obituaries on people under 50 as she does over 50. We got obituary will be coming down today or no later in the morning. Young man, young kid, just a kid really, killed in an accident, something to do with a tractor, Friday afternoon, I believe it was. She's already got, she says, he's how old? 8 years old. She already got it. I didn't catch that she had it. She already had 8 years old, killed in an accident. We see them 20, 21. We see them 36, 46. Don't, amen, don't wait around and say, I'll wait till I'm old or I'll wait till I'm gray. I've got plenty of time. They do that song. I remember that song, and they show an infant turn around, and the name of the little tune is called Turn Around. And every time the person turns around, they turn around, they're a baby, they turn around, they're a teenager, they turn around, they're a young adult, they turn around, they're having kids, they turn around, their hair is turning gray. I'm 62 years old, and it seems like yesterday I was 12. I can remember running down the long path that led from the road from the out to the farmhouse and the big old barn that's sitting next to the road. I can remember my first bicycle. I can remember my first sled, and it just seems like yesterday. Life is just a vapor that appeareth for a while and then vanishes away. This for a while. While we have life, while we have breath, while we have a right mind, we need to call upon the Lord and choose Him is our way and our truth and our life. But He said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I mentioned this earlier. This is the reason some people, when they lose a loved one, they go berserk, because they don't have no hope. It's not goodbye, it's I'll see you later. You know, just inside the eastern gate, a good friend of mine has one of the broadcasts here, just lost a close friend this week. And he said, the friend said to him, the last conversation, he said, if I happen to slip away before you, I'll be just inside the eastern gate waiting for you. Just inside the eastern gate will be 10,000 years. We've just begun. What a time, what a time. All this is promised to those that are of the first resurrection. He goes on to explain here as Paul explains this in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep, which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're going to see the graves bust wide open. All those vaults, I'm ever amazed. We just done a funeral just a couple weeks back of a blessed sister that we, Sister Dalton, Sister Julie Dalton, and she was a part of our ministry for years, and they come to our crusades and different meetings, her and Robert, before he went on to be with the Lord. And I remember in that funeral, I remember the point of how that we know assuredly that when we said so long to that blessed saint of God, when we look there in the casket, we know just in a few days, the graves are going to bust wide open. As we carried her to the, it was sleeting and ice and cold, raining that day, and we carried her up to the mausoleum there where they had all these bodies in vaults. And while we was doing that funeral and finishing up, my eyes cast over all those vaults to realize that if they're saved by the grace of God, those vaults are going to come right open. I told an undertaker in Radford one time, I said, he said he had a warranty on that vault and on that casket, nothing could get in, nothing could get out. I said, don't put me in it because you'll forfeit your warranty. Because I said, it won't keep me in there. It won't keep a blessed saint. Because we're going to come forth. The Bible said, oh, you know, all the unbelief of the man or the woman, all the doubt, all that's going on, when that trumpet sounds, it will not prevent the graves from busting open. Our loved ones, we're going to be caught up. Listen to what the Word of God says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, them which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul closes this section of Scripture by simply saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to know when we have a loved one pass away, we have a friend to pass away, we have someone close to our hearts, and they're called to be with the Lord. It leaves us with a heavy heart, but it's good to be comforted and know that we're going to see them again, and the trumpet going to sound so loud, it's going to wake the dead. And we're going to be caught up together to be with the Lord. And according to God's word, so shall we ever dwell. And I want to close with this verse of Scripture to all those that are listening and wherever we'll hear this message. The Bible says in Romans the 10th chapter in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in the heart that God has raised him from death, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed, for there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we have the understanding that's been given by your word. That God, that the trumpet going to sound so loud it's going to wake the dead. We're going to go to be with you. Let men and women that are hear this message, let it convict their heart, touch their heart, that call upon you and be saved. Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that, God, you work the work of grace and men and women come to know you is our prayer. Heal, set free, deliver, work miracles. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen and amen and amen. God love you and God bless you.